Hello, my name is Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explains. Now, Microsoft have announced that the Windows subsystem for Linux 2, WSL2, will be generally available with Windows 10 version 2004, which will be hitting our machines anytime soon. So I've downloaded it already, and I've taken WSL2 for a spin, and I want to talk to you about that today. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. So to install WSL and WSL2, you need to go down to the Start menu and type in Turn Windows Features On or Off. Click on the icon that you get and make sure you tick Windows Subsystem for Linux. And then specifically for version 2, you need to make sure you tick Virtual Machine Platform. Windows will then download all the bits it needs to do and install it, and then you will need to reboot your computer. If you're not familiar with the Windows subsystem for Linux, then I've got a whole video about it here on this channel, which I really recommend you watch. But basically, it's a compatibility layer for running Linux binaries natively on Windows 10. So if you tried to run a program, something simple, a binary like ls, for example, then at some point it would have to interact with the Linux kernel for file I/O, for memory allocation, for printing things out. And rather than actually talking to a real Linux kernel, it would go through this compatibility layer, which would then turn the calls into Windows kernel calls. And then on the way back up, it would convert the results into something that looked like the results from the Linux kernel. And therefore, because of that, you're able to run Linux distributions on top, like Ubuntu, meaning that you got Linux inside of Windows. That's why it's the Windows subsystem pretending to be Linux, Windows subsystem for Linux. Now, WSL2 is very, very different. Now you actually got a real Linux kernel built and maintained by Microsoft itself. Of course, the starting point is the mainline kernel, and then Microsoft have published their version of the kernel on the internet, on GitHub. And basically, you're now running a lightweight virtual machine based on Hyper-V. So this is basically virtualization, and then you actually have a real kernel running, and then on top of that, you then have a Linux distribution like Ubuntu, for example. Now, because it's now a real Linux kernel, it means you can do things like running Docker, which you couldn't do when you were running WSL1. Now, here we are under Ubuntu running under WSL1, and I want us to have a look at the kernel version, and then we'll go and have a look at a version that's running under WSL2. Now, the important thing is that it's version 4.4, so that's the version that ships with WSL1. And now we can check the kernel inside of the WSL version 2, so /proc/version, and we can see there that is kernel 4.19. Now, what's the interesting thing is now is that Microsoft has said that they will update the kernel to the WSL distributions via a Windows update, not by something you update inside Linux itself, but by a Windows update. In fact, the first time you notice this thing about installing the kernel separately is when you upgrade to WSL2, you'll be taken to a web page where you have to download the appropriate kernel and install it manually for the first time. After that, all updates are automatic. Now, here I'm inside of normal Windows command prompts. This is Windows, not Linux. And there is the WSL command. So if we do a WSL minus L minus V, that will list verbosely all of the images that we've got. And the important thing here to notice is that we have version 1 of WSL running. Now, we can convert that Ubuntu into a version 2. And the way you do that is WSL minus minus set hyphen version. And then we put the name of the Linux, so it's Linux 1804, and then we say set the version to 2, and that will now convert this to a WSL2 image. And now that has finished, we can use the same WSL command WL -L -V, and now we can see there that this is version 2. Okay, because we have a normal Linux kernel now, rather than some kind of emulation or extraction layer, we can actually run programs like Docker. So let's download and install Docker. This is the standard way you would do this on any machine for Linux, of course. So get.docker.com -o get docker basically gets the shell script that we then have to run. So let's run that. There we go, that's got that, which means we can now do /get docker.shell, and that will execute the script. We now need to type in the super user password there. And so that should now be installing Docker here on this Ubuntu version that's running inside of Windows using the Windows subsystem for Linux 2. Now that Docker is installed, one of the first things you do to kind of check the system is run docker run hello-world. So let's run that. Hello from Docker. This message shows that your installation appears to be working correctly. Brilliant. Now, they also suggest you run another one here, and that is try something more ambitious. You can run Ubuntu in a container. Now, this will be interesting if this works. Of course, it should work. Right? I can't find the Ubuntu, so it's pulling it down from the internet. So we'll just wait a moment while it downloads that. But of course, if this runs, then we're going to have a very much of an inception moment. We're going to have Ubuntu running inside a Docker, running inside Ubuntu, which is itself running inside of Windows under the Windows subsystem for Linux. So this is going to be an interesting experiment. And here now we are inside of Ubuntu in a Docker, a container. And one way to check that is that we can see whether this file exists. /docker environment, which it does, so that also helps us to see we're inside of that. If we do now control D to log out, we can see that we are back now inside of Ubuntu inside of Windows. As for sharing files between the two environments, it's the same inside of Linux in that you can now do you can use the mount /c, and let's go to users Gary, and that will show you all the files I've got on the Windows side of things. And if you remember from my last video, I created a WSL directory there that I was using from inside of the Linux, but it was actually accessing files over there on the Windows. You can also run Windows File Explorer from within side of Linux. I'm inside of Linux now, and this will start up Explorer and show me all the files that I've got here inside of the Linux environment. And notice the path here, network WSL dollar, and then the name of the subsystem that I'm running, home Gary, and these are all my files. Now, the reason for this is that because WSL2 uses a lightweight virtualization system rather than this compatibility layer, the actual files for each of the distributions we install are stored inside of an actual virtual hard disk. And that greatly improves the performance in terms of file I/O, because when you're running them inside of WSL, it's dealing with its own internal virtual hard disk rather than reading and writing to, let's say, NTFS through some kind of a translation layer. And so to be able to copy files in and out of there, you can now do that using the Windows Explorer or from Windows side, or using /mount/c inside of Linux. But the idea is that you actually use the files that you have locally inside each environment and not try to use the ones cross environment. Although it works, it will be much slower that way. And interestingly enough, we can actually run now inside of WSL2 /an fdisk of SDA. And let's see what happens here. Let's print that out. So there we go. It's showing you that this virtual hard disk you get, it is by definition maximum of 200. It grows dynamically on the actual space, but it's actually 256 gigabytes of space that you get, and it will grow according to the actual size that you want. And there are commands on Microsoft's website to show you how to make that bigger if you need to. Now, here's the big reveal. Everything you have seen today in this video is in fact running on a Surface Pro X with an ARM processor. So WSL2 is fully functional and working on an ARM processor. In fact, I tried this on an older Intel machine and I couldn't get it to work. I kept getting told I don't have the right virtual machine stuff enabled in the BIOS and installed. Isn't true. It was all running, should have all been running fine. It just didn't seem to work. So I've actually had more success with WSL2 on the Surface Pro X than I have with on an Intel machine. Okay, that's it. My name's Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. I really hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. If you like these kind of videos, then please stick around by subscribing to the channel. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.